listening to a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table, a congregation of the Anglican Church of Canada located in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come like a fire and burn. Come like the wind and cleanse. Convict, convert, and consecrate our hearts for our great good and for your great glory. Amen. So you can kind of tell that things are starting to pick up speed at this point in the story. Tonight in the Gospel of John, who, unlike Mark, is not known for leaving out details, seems to be skipping between ideas. It says, "Now among those who went to worship at the feast were some Greeks. They went to Philip to ask to see Jesus. And then Philip went to see Andrew, and he told him, and they both went and told Jesus that these Greeks wanted to see him." We genuinely do not know if those Greeks were following them and if they did get to meet Jesus. We don't have it. But we'd hope so, but we don't know. What we do know is that something about that moment, about that interaction, changed something. Up until now, starting at the wedding of Cana, when Mary asked Jesus to do something about the wine that had gone dry, time and time again we hear from Jesus that his time, that his hour has not yet come. Well, tonight, after Philip and Andrew deliver this message that the Greeks want to come and meet him, apparently his time has come. It makes some sense, of course. He had just rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, greeted by throngs of people welcoming him as the coming king. The only thing that happens between that and the Greeks coming to see him are the Pharisees getting angry at all these people coming to see him. So he could have just dismounted his donkey at that moment, looked around, and said his hour had come. I mean, that would make sense. You ride in a triumphal way and you say, "All right, I'm here. Now we're doing this." But that's not what happened. First, this group of outsiders, Greeks, Gentiles, people from outside his particular mission field at that moment, come to him during the feast of the Passover, after his triumphal entry, to ask to see him. Okay, now his hour has come. One might hazard a guess that the Greeks did, in fact, follow Philip and Andrew, because now everything Jesus is saying would be explicitly to them. This is not a jump. He had just marched into Jerusalem and started preaching, and sure, maybe there might have been Gentiles around, but they would have just been bystanders hearing all of these apocalyptic messages. No, these Greeks were there, and they were mentioned by name. We have been mentioned by name. We are all there. Everything that Jesus is saying from this point forward is meant for the whole world, for the Jews and the Gentiles all to hear. And he continues, "Truly, truly, I tell you," says Jesus, "unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain only a single grain. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." That is for everybody to hear. And so is this. If anyone serves me, they must follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. Imagine Philip and Andrew listening to this in the holy city where God has chosen to dwell. And this group of Greeks had just followed them to see Jesus, probably standing somewhere close to him. And you can imagine Jesus' eyes resting upon those outsiders who just sought him out by following his disciples, so to follow Jesus. If anyone must serve me, they must follow. And where I am, there my servants will be also. So if we're taking this not so great leap to think that those Greeks had followed Philip and Andrew to see Jesus, Jesus just named them servants. He just gave them the highest honor that could possibly be bestowed on any person, calling them his servants. And I have servants spelled here with a capital S. But that title doesn't mean anything when it's not followed through upon. The call placed upon the title is to follow. It's funny that Jesus outlines what it means to follow. Dying as a grain of wheat, hating one's own life in this world, before he names them his servants. Maybe it's his way of reframing what seems like bad news into what is actually the good news. Dying to this world is bad. Hating one's life is bad. And yet, that is how we follow. That is how we serve. That is how we are called servants. That is how we are where Jesus is. Everything in Jesus' path gets turned upside down. Everything needs to be reconsidered. Following him is a whole new way of life. It's a whole new way of life that he speaks to in verse 30. After the voice comes down from the clouds, we hear this. Jesus said, "This voice has come for your sake. The ruler of the world has been cast out. And when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself." That's the shape of the new life. And what of these things, I ask you, are we responsible for? The voice came down for our sake to understand and to confirm whatever it is that we need. The voice came for us. And the ruler of this world is being cast out because, try as we might, we just can't seem to do it ourselves. And Jesus is being lifted up to draw us to him. We are to believe, but not without the word. We are to do all of the work of the kingdom, but not without God casting out first the powers and principalities of this world. And we are to follow him, but not without being drawn, not without being led. We are called to be Christians, but not without Christ. The message this world has for us is that we are only 2 or 3 YouTube videos away, 1 podcast series, and 1 book away from being our best selves. This is the law of the world. This is the version of loving one's own life in the world that Jesus condemns. That we can wrestle it out on our own if we just keep working. I heard it, I swear, I wish I wrote the name down. I heard a song the other day. It was talking about the grind, how bad it is, but how that's just the life we live. And if we're going to accomplish our goals, that's just what we got to do. And then it comes around, and the moral of the story is, but if you just shift your perspective and come to love that grind, it won't feel so bad. Like, I couldn't believe it. That is the version of loving one's own life that Jesus condemns. The kind that destroys itself for the sake of itself and calls it love? This is the one, this is the life that you could look at and legitimately hate. A life that follows the law of the world. In calling us servants, in calling us to follow, we are given a new direction. We are turned towards God and in so doing towards others. A new direction where breaking ourselves down for the sake of ourself just makes no sense at all. So this Lent, we've been tempted in the wilderness and saved by the words of Jesus. Our worldview has been rebuked in the place of Peter. Our idols have been overturned in the temples, and we've sat still with Nicodemus at night. What's left? Nothing. All that we want, the way that we think about the world, and all those things that we put on pedestals, they're just all gone. The Gospels, through these Lenten readings, have taken it all away. And lest we think we're excluded from Jesus' saving love, from participating in this whole new direction of life, we show up as the Greeks, as the outsiders, as the ones who feel like they are on the outside in tonight's reading, as a symbol that the whole world is in. Jew or Greek, enslaved or free, there is no distinction. The gospel this Lent has taken it all away, and it leaves us tonight with a God that gives us the way. Through the voice from the clouds, by clearing the path, to be drawn home again and again and again. That is the glory of God in sending his Son to lead us in the way of life and love, in defeating death through pinning himself to the cross, and each and every time one of his servants is found following him where they are so desperately needed. Amen.
This has been a sermon podcast from St. Benedict's Table. For information on our church and to access the full catalog of our podcasts going all the way back to 2006, visit us online at stbenedictstable.ca. In addition, if you are interested in supporting our online work, you can find information on the website using the donate button located on the top right-hand corner. Thanks for listening.